The Northern Arapaho tribe is celebrating the return of a precious artifact, a war bonnet that belonged to Chief Black Hole. As Wyoming Public Radio Savannah Marr reports, this victory has re-energized efforts to repatriate other cultural items.
It's a Saturday afternoon, and Great Plains Hall is packed. Hundreds of people are standing in line to bless themselves with cedar smoke and visit with a very imposing 6-foot-long eagle feather headdress.
It just makes you feel like he's in the room and he's watching us and he's saying, "What kind of Arapaho person are you?" So it just makes you stand up straight when you see it.
That's Crystal Seabering, Deputy Director of the Northern Arapaho Tribal Historic Preservation Office, and she's talking about Chief Black Hole. He led the Northern Arapaho in the late 1800s, and this repatriation ceremony is the first time in more than 140 years that his headdress has been among Arapaho people. So its return has been a long time coming, and a lot of time spent in a car.
We drove all across country, over 2,000 miles. Multiple states, and we did it.
Jordan Dresser is the collections manager with the Historic Preservation Office. He got the call in early December from a man in Massachusetts who said that Black Hole had gifted the headdress to his great-grandfather.
He had, like, a treasure, basically. And he said, "And I want to donate it back to the tribe." And so it was just like a month of, like, busyness.
It was days of back and forth to verify that it really was Black Hole's headdress. Then Dresser had to get the business council on board, gather a team to retrieve the headdress, round up the resources to preserve it. But as repatriations go, Dresser says this one was a breeze. When the Northern Arapaho tribe wants their things back from a museum or a university, they typically have to request them using a federal law called the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act, or NAGPRA.
Right now we're requesting stuff from the Field Museum.
Dresser didn't want to share exactly what his office is requesting from the Chicago Field Museum, but NAGPRA requires human remains and certain sacred objects to be returned to tribes who ask for them. But the tribe and the museum need to agree that the item has roots with that tribe and that it has a sacred purpose. Many tribes find that the burden of proof falls on them.
We did a consultation with them a few years ago and they said, "Oh, we don't think they're Arapaho. We think that the box that they're housed in was mislabeled. Oh, we think they're found in Utah." And just given these excuses.
Helen Robbins is on the other side of this equation. She's the repatriation director for the Field Museum. She says the museum is committed to repatriation. They want sacred items in their collection to go back to tribes. But because many were collected hundreds of years ago, it can be difficult to piece together their lineage. Robbins compares the process to throwing the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle up in the air.
And scatters everywhere, and you lose anywhere from half to 9/10 of the pieces. And then you've got whatever's left to try and figure out what this item was. And it's really hard, and sometimes you just don't have the evidence.
The Field Museum doesn't comment on specific repatriation claims, but Robin says that cases where there's uncertainty about where an object really came from are some of the toughest ones she deals with.
It's very difficult, as we have an obligation to make sure we are repatriating to the appropriate group, because if we repatriate an item to the wrong group, we are doing harm.
Ultimately, it's up to the museum to decide whether an item falls under NAGPRA and should be repatriated or not. That's a painful reality for tribal members. People like Jordan Dresser argue that collectors usually didn't ask before taking these items. So why should tribes have to go to such lengths to get them back? Robbins acknowledges it's not a perfect process.
No tribe is going to say it's fair that the museums are required by law to make these decisions because they don't. I think it's fair, and I don't necessarily disagree, but that is what the law says.
Precious Arapaho cultural items are scattered all around the world. Chief Yellowcalf's headdress is at the British Museum. The Smithsonian has Sharpnose's Sundance whistle. Those are things Dresser dreams about bringing back to the Wind River Reservation. And the spontaneous return of Black Hole's headdress gives him some hope.
He came home for a reason because he wanted to come home. But also he's calling all these other ancestors of us to come back home too. Like he's saying, "Now's the time, come here. Let's piece together our Arapaho people. Let's bring our people back together and let's get us strong again."
But there's another thing that stands in the way. The Northern Arapaho tribe doesn't currently have a place to put many of these objects or the resources to preserve them. Crystal Seabering says there's been a lot of talk from tribal leaders about investing in a museum space, but not much action.
And so that's kind of our goal, is to get a repository, a museum, a library, and just a cultural center for our tribal members to learn from these items and just have a place for them to go and just learn everything that they can about our people.
Black Coal's headdress will be on display at the Wind River Hotel. Seabaring hopes that someday it can be moved to the Northern Arapaho tribe's very own museum. But for now, she counts it as a victory that Arapaho people won't have to travel to a big city or pay an admissions fee to visit their chief. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Savannah Marr on the Wind River Reservation.